The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
I'd like for us to begin by please going with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. And we're going to notice what God is telling us here. Isaiah 55, beginning in verse 7. Isaiah 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he, God, will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So let me ask you a question in reading this. Why do you think God is telling us, man, that man's thoughts are not God's thoughts? I mean, why do you think he's telling us? Did God have to tell us this, or should we just know it? As humans who believe there is a God, we know that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Right? Right. I mean, we can just look and we can see his choices and his behaviors and his perspectives on things, that they are much clearer than ours. We can see that his judgments are always righteous and always perfect. We can see that his knowledge is without end. We can see and we can know that all of God's attributes of the mind are higher than ours. All of them are superior to ours. And of course, we probably also all realize that man's thoughts are different in many ways than the thoughts of God. And yet, we have some questions that we need to ask and we need to consider. For example, have we forsaken our ways of thinking? Are we responding to the thoughts of God that he has revealed in his word? Are we truly taking on the mind of Jesus Christ that the Almighty Father wants us to have? Have we even considered the many ways that the thoughts of man are different than the mind of Jesus Christ? And if so, then how have we changed our thoughts? How has our change in thinking changed our lives? I have entitled this sermon, Responding to God's Mind. Brethren, we know that nothing can match God's thoughts and his mind. We even know that his mind is infinite, meaning that his mind is unlimited in every way, while at the same time we know that our minds are finite, meaning that our minds are limited. They are fixed or set or restricted. And of course, at the same time, we also know and we realize and we understand that he created us to have temporary and finite minds. Yet, at the same time, he made us in his image to some degree. It is part of his plan to make us even more like God's mind in time. He will have forever changed our thinking. And brethren, I also want us to think about it. I know we know this, but I want to put it in this perspective at this point here at this message. Please realize new thinking comes from a renewed mind. It is a mind capable of proving that God's will is perfect in every way. I'm talking about having this renewed mind that God wants us to have. And brethren, we will prove that to be true by our new thoughts, by our new perspectives, and by our new behaviors. Please go with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, you know where we're going. Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. And there should be an understood, so that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Because you see, when God's process is finished, when His plan is carried out, when it is completed, when we have been changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at that last trump, from flesh unto spirit, and we're born into the family of God, we will be new creatures created in Christ Jesus. We're in that process now. But we have to start with having our minds renewed. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. God considers things as if they've already happened. I mean, we started it off in the book of Isaiah by reading, let the wicked forsake his way. He's talking about human life, human beings. Let him forsake his way. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. My ways are not your ways. And that is so true. But he wants us to have this renewed mind, this renewed thinking. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature, and all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God considers it as if it has happened, because that's his plan. That's his mind. God knows the beginning from the end. And he thinks long term. I mean, really long term. Yet, we are limited. The words he speaks are pure. In fact, we are told that he purifies his word 7 times. In Psalm 12 and verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. And I could go off and speculate on that, but not going to, but we can let our minds wonder, what is he talking about? What do you mean is purified 7 times? And yet, brethren, we are all too often careless in our conversations and in our conversations, and he is the source of all that is excellent. He is the source of all that exists. The Almighty created everything. Yes, we know that he created everything by and for Jesus. Colossians 1 and verse 16. Colossians 1, 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. We know that God is sovereign. We know that he is supreme with ultimate, total, unlimited power and authority. Nothing is higher. We know that he has dominion over all, while he has given us this temporary earth for our dominion. He shows us that. I'm not going to go there, but it's in Genesis chapter 2, verses around 27 through 30. Let us create man in our own image after our own likeness, and let him have dominion over. This is where it says. So we have that. And so we're awed how great God truly is. No wonder he made the statement that my thoughts are not your thoughts. I mean, would we have created the earth? Would we have even known how to do this? Would it ever even come to our mind? This would be a good idea to do this. He did. He did do it. And he has unlimited resources and riches, both in knowledge and in wisdom. Romans 11 and verse 33. Romans 11 verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. In so many ways, God has made us in his image, and his plans for us, for man, his plans to provide not only for his image, but he also plans to give us his divine nature. 2 Peter 1 in verse 4. 2 Peter 1 in verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And brethren, this divine nature that he has promised to us, that it is going to happen because he said so, requires a renewed way of thinking and choosing. His divine nature will provide us many gifts, including right knowledge, or truth, if you want to call it that, with understanding and with wisdom. And I'm talking about God's wisdom, God's thinking. This is what he has in store for us. This is what he has in mind for us. Because you see, brethren, God intends one day that we will truly be like him. And by that I am meaning, even today, we can know him, and we can do all things through Christ. We're told that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4, verse 13. But we can't come on that by ourselves. It's the mind of God. It's his thoughts. It's not our thoughts, not human thoughts. But we can have that even now. God is going to provide, can provide, will provide whatever that is needed to perfect his children. Philippians 3 and verse 15. Philippians 3 verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if any man, and if in anything, you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Because you see, he has also told us to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The let means allow it to happen. He wants it to happen. Brethren, the Bible is full of illustrations that emphasize the truth that God thinks much higher than we can even imagine. Let me just kind of go through some of these ways, examples that we have in the Bible. Let me just mention some. For example, who would have imagined a God being emptying himself, being born as a flesh and blood and bone human being, and then suffering and dying for the sins of mankind that he created? What is so fantastic about that illustration is it says, we are shown that even the angels were amazed and desired to look into these things. 1 Peter 1, verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but also unto us that minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Which tells us they don't have the mind of God either. They are created beings, just as we are. Different. Other examples. Who would have figured that God would do that? Who would have figured that God would have devised a plan to create man, knowing that man is going to sin, and so he empties himself, comes down flesh and blood and bone, just like we are, was not God with flesh stretched over, he was man as we are man, and died for our sins, to cover our sins by his blood. Who would have thought of marching around a city for 7 days and blowing trumpets to defeat an enemy? Who would have had the thought to allow true believers to be thrown into a fiery furnace and to come out alive and to come out not even smelling like smoke? Who would have created a great fish to deliver Jonah to his assigned destination? And wow, this next one. Who would have thought to call you and me to glory? 2 Thessalonians 2:14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some other things about the mind of God illustrations. We looked at a little of this early before services in the book of Job 38. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it if you have understanding. Who laid the measures thereof, if you know, or who has stretched the line upon it? And we read this, and you can read all of this, and you can go through Job 38 and Job 39, and as he talks about some of these things that tell us the mind of God, and he is comparing the mind of not just Job, but the mind of all human beings. We would not have even imagined to do these things, much less to have known how to do them and then to do them. Yet he does. He did. That's who God is. This is the God that has called us to glory, to be just as He is. So, brethren, while mankind would choose quite differently, in contrast, God has chosen the base things of the world. Why? To confound. That's what he says. I mean, do you think humans would have chosen the base things over the lofty and mighty things? The answer is yes, we do, because that's what we see in humans all the time. But that's not the mind of God. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the earth to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised, God has chosen, yea, the things which are not, to become at naught things that are. We're nothing. But he has called us to become everything. Sons of God in his kingdom, in his family. How absolutely unsearchable are his judgments and his ways are past finding out. We read that verse earlier. How true that is. Now, while God daily loads us with benefits, he pours forth grace. He pours grace upon us. Psalm 25 and verse 9. Psalm 25, verse 9. The meek, or the humble, as it says in several other translations. Will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way? You see, the thing is, brethren, God's ways are always peace, while human thinking leans itself toward fightings and conflicts. James 4, verse 1 and 2. James 4, verse 1 and 2. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members, that war within us? It was part of us as human beings. This is just part of our human nature. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have nothing because you ask not. In other words, we don't go to God and ask God. And I'm talking about not us, the church, the body of believers. I'm talking about the world at large here in general. But that's the attitude of human beings. That is human-mindedness thinking. Yet, God wants us to think like He thinks. He wants us to choose what He would choose. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It is that mind of Jesus Christ in us that must replace our thoughts of the natural, fleshly, human mind. Here's another way to see how God's thinking is above or higher than ours. God gives us His Word, and He does not change His mind. While humans, we're ambivalent or double-minded. Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Have you not known, have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. So yes, his ways can be very mysterious to us, and his understanding is unsearchable. In other words, as a human mind, we can't come up with it. We can't understand it. But we can come to the place that we understand it by having the mind of Jesus Christ in us. Psalm 145, verse 3. Psalm 145 and verse 3. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. God has also shown us another vast difference between his mind and the mind of man, and that is he intends that we help, that we forgive our enemies. And we all know truly forgiving our enemies is not the common way for a human to think, is it? God thinks differently. And God tells us to not only forgive our enemies, he also tells us that we are to give him water and we are to give him bread. And he also tells us that we are to bless our enemy instead of cursing him. God also tells us that he intends that we love our enemy. Matthew 5, verse 43, we begin. Matthew 5, verse 43. You have heard, these are the words of Jesus Christ, you have heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Is this human-minded thinking? Nope. Not the part that he says, don't do. He says, you've heard this, but I'm telling you, that's not the way to do it. We do this, what he says, don't do. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he, the Father, makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the just and sends rain on the just and the unjust. In other words, he's showing that's the mind of God. And Jesus has just pointed out what was the mind of man. And it's so vastly different. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same thing? If you salute your brother only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Hold your place here in Matthew and go over with me to Proverbs chapter 25, and we're going to read verses 21 and 22. Proverbs 25, verse 21. Proverbs 25, 21. If your enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For you shall heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall rebless you. We go back to Matthew, and we see why he wants us to do it the way that he does it. His mind. He tells us why. Matthew 5:48. Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is perfect. Wow. He's saying he wants us to be just like he is. He wants us to be perfect. And he's showing us in this contrast here what the mind of man is and what compared to what the mind of God is. And he says, this is the way I want you to be because I want you to be perfect. Because this way of man's thinking is not perfect. The way of God's thinking is perfect. David mused, was in awe of over this great difference between God's mind and our mind as humans. Go with me to Psalm 8. Psalm 8, verse 3. Psalm 8 and verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers. He could be reading Job here. You know, he could be at least thinking about it. I don't know if he had the book of Job. I have no clue. The works of your fingers, the sun and the stars, the moon and the stars that you have ordained. What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you would visit him? Why would you even bother with us? We're so different than you are in our thinking and the way we live life. Now, with that in mind, go with me to Isaiah 40 and verse 12. Isaiah 40 and verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains and scales and the hills in a balance? Well, the implication, obviously, is God did that. It's exact. He knows exactly what he wanted. He measured it out. He knows exactly what he is doing. And a question that I think that we all need to ask ourselves. Do we stop and consider such vast accomplishments? Do we even think about it? These need to be in our thoughts. Like David did, we are to talk about God's great exploits, the mighty acts of God. We are to rejoice over him, and we are to spread the word about them to others. We are to talk about these, and you got to have them in the thinking to be able to know them, to know what they are. You got to study in the word, bring it out, have it ready on our minds to be able to talk to other people about this. Go with me to Psalm 145 and verse 6. And I want to read this one verse from three or four different translations. They're all close. They all say pretty much the same thing. But it's a different way of looking at it. Psalm 145, verse 6. Contemporary English version says, everyone will talk about your fearsome deeds, and I will tell all nations how great you are. The Good News Bible. People will speak of your mighty deeds, and I will proclaim your greatness. The Holman Christian Standard Bible. They will proclaim the power of your awe-inspiring acts, and I will declare your greatness. New Revised Standard Version. There's nothing special about these particular ones. You could pick any four or five translations, and you're going to get things like this. But these are just the ones that I have. The New American Standard Version. The might of your awesome deeds shall be proclaimed, and I will declare your greatness. So please realize, brethren, we cannot beat God's mind, nor can we grasp it and search it out with our infinite human brains. We cannot see the future, and yet God not only sees the future, he plans for it. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows the future. He plans are firm forever. He knows what he's doing. Psalm 33 and verse 11. Psalm 33 and verse 11. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart from generation to generation. Unlike man, God does not plot. He plans. As humans, we cannot even change something as simple as making ourselves taller by our thoughts. Matthew 6 and verse 27. Matthew 6, 27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubic unto his stature? So look into the mind of God to this point that we have. So we need to ask, then why do we not just do what God says? After all, He has made everything. He put the bounds where they need to be and set everything in motion. We saw that in Job. He is righteous and cannot be touched by sins or broken law. His judgments are righteous and perfect. There are no flaws. He works all things out for our good. His thoughts toward us are positive. He wants us to trust Him with all of our hearts. So a question that we need to ask ourselves is, so why not do just that? Why not? If he says it, we can count on it. He cannot lie. He has promised us certain things. We can know many, many, many of those promises. And He's not going to lie. Titus 1 and verse 2. Titus 1 verse 2. And hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. That's the mind of God. But I want you to go with me now and see another way of stating this. It's not about His not lying, but it ties into this. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. Jeremiah 29 and 11, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So why not just do what He asks us to do all the time? Why don't we just do it? Today, our minds provide us with consciousness, memory, and the ability to perceive and the ability to make judgments, and our mind is linked to language. Scientists, researchers, psychologists, and others who study the human mind, quite often they have a difficulty in actually defining the human mind. You can read two different things, two different papers, and it comes to different conclusions. They don't understand it. That's the point. Those who seek to deny the existence of God try to explain the human mind by comparing the human mind to that of animals, such as the great apes and the porpoise and other animals. I mean, that's how they try and explain it. Wrong. You're already in the wrong category. You're in the wrong field. You're in the wrong place to describe this, to explain this. But that's how they try and do it. Because yet there is a vast difference. We have human mind that is related to the gift of the human spirit. And that is that man has a spirit within us. We have a human spirit within us. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. That's different. I'm talking about the human spirit in man. Job 32 and verse 8. Job's 32 verse 8. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. Any understanding that we have of God comes from God because He has given us this human spirit that we can reason, we can rationalize, and we can do things. Animals can't do that. It is that human spirit in man that makes our mind so different from that of the animals, who, yes, also do have a spirit in them. Animal spirit may be similar, yet it is distinct from what God has given to man. Animal mind is not like our minds. just like our minds are not like God's. Animals' minds are not like humans' minds. Ecclesiastes 3. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 19, we begin. Ecclesiastes 3, 19. For that which befalls the sons of men befalls beasts. Even one thing befalls them. As the one dies, so die the other. Yea, in other words, if man dies, beast also die. If a beast dies, man also dies. That's what he's saying. Yet they have all one breath, so that a man has no preeminence above a beast. Don't get hung up there. For all is vanity. It's like a, that's what that word actually means. It's like a breath. That's it. All go into one place. All are of the dust, and all return to the dust again. In other words, we were all created by God, man and beast. That's what he's talking about here. Who knows the spirit of man that goes upward? And that would be an understood. And who knows the spirit of the beast that goes downward to the earth? There's a difference. And who knows it is God. Researchers who deal with what is human mind, they cannot distinguish it because they forget the source who created all things. There is also a great difference between the natural man of man that allows him to know of physical things and of the mind of Jesus Christ that God is creating within those who have been called and chosen and faithful. Those who have been called and repented and been baptized and had hands laid on and received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Those that God has begotten as his own children are those that also have the Spirit of God within them. That is what gives us access to the mind that is in Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, yet nevertheless, not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I live because I have been baptized, because we have been called and chosen and faithful, and we have repented and been baptized and had hands laid on, and God granted repentance, and he gave us the Holy Spirit. And as a result of that, Jesus Christ, I live, yet not I, but Jesus Christ lives in me. Brother, we need to know and we need to understand, godly thinking is a gift. It is a righteous fruit that glorifies God when we choose to grow it. Paul explains how some of this works. It's over in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, if you go with me there. 1 Corinthians 2. And if you're doing notes, write in your notes 1 Corinthians 2, verses 2 through 16. We're not going to read all of those. We're just going to read some of them, but you need to go back later and fill that in. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, those who have been called and chosen and faithful, baptized, hands laid on, should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Verse 9, but it is written, and this is written, this comes from Isaiah 64 and verse 4, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them, meaning his mysteries and his wisdom, unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. In other words, we can see more of the mind of God because of having the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. There's an implied there, but those who have the Holy Spirit within them. Verse 14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The human mind, I've said this several times through here, and now I'm showing you scriptures to back it up. The human mind cannot comprehend, cannot understand the things of God. We can understand the mind of God because we have the Holy Spirit within. This is what this is saying. Verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So looking at this, I think we need to ask ourselves, do we discern, or are we frequently compromising or making excuses for not always doing things God's way? I understand. These are hard questions. These are tough questions. I understand that. I mean, since God is perfect in love and perfect in his intentions toward us, and he only desires good for us, and he has proven it by giving us grace and honor and the life of his precious Son, then we need to ask ourselves, so what is so important that gets in the way of our cooperating with God and living by his every word? Do we think God is kidding? Do we think God is not looking? Do we think anyone will escape God's judgments? And thankfully, we know that God knows that we are dust. That's what he tells us in Psalm 103 and verse 14. He knows that we are going to falter. He knows that we're going to make excuses to change or not submitting to him fully. He knows all of that. He knows our minds. Still, we need to set our thoughts, our hopes, our hearts, and our human spirit to seek, to obey, fully, to love God with all of our hearts. We need to seek a renewed mind, and we need to make a renewed commitment to always put God first. Matthew 6:33. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Because we remember, we are all told, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Allow it to happen. It's there. It's available. Stop making excuses. And we all do it. I mean, you know, I could be giving this looking in a mirror. I understand. I mean, after all, we know this, but I state it anyway. Our Father knows best. Therefore, we need to respond to God's mind. The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Brethren, we are all so blessed. Happy Sabbath. We love you all. God bless you all.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.